During the season of expectation, we are giving ourselves to look at someone who lived 520 years before our Lord Jesus came the first time, who also found himself anticipating what God would do and the one that God would bring. Today, we're going to take another look into the book of Zechariah. Again, Zechariah was a prophet who ministered in the broken city of Jerusalem that was given permission to rebuild itself by the emperor of the Persians, Cyrus, and then Darius, who was now on the throne. Last week, we heard about how God was going to create a great city, a city in which all peoples would be welcomed, a city without walls. And we rejoice that this might be true, that we might enter the city as well when the king comes. Today, we look to chapter 3, and we look at another dimension of what God was doing. And before our brother comes and shares the message with us, let us hear the word of the Lord from Zechariah chapter 3. It may be important to note here that Zechariah is now seeing someone in a vision that he recognizes as a real person who's a contemporary of his, and that is Joshua, who's been appointed the semi-mayor or governor, as you would call him, in this place and time. Let us enter into the vision of Zechariah chapter 3. Then the angel showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel, and the angel said to those who were standing with him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. "This is what the Lord Almighty says, Joshua, if you will walk in my ways and keep my commandments, then you will govern my house and have a charge in my courts, and I will give you a place among those standing here. Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated with you who are men symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua? There are seven eyes on that stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. In that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his fig and vine, declares the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
It's a beautiful day. And what makes this day even more beautiful is the fact that God has called us to fellowship with him. Some of us had some really troubling weeks, and especially some very tiring days. And at some points you just felt that you couldn't make it, but you did. And as we come to this moment, we pause because I guess at some point in our lives, we all have been accused in one way or another. Whether it was in sibling rivalry in the home or in the neighborhoods where we grow up, and the guys or the girls decided that they were either going to get us in trouble or we decided that we were going to get somebody in trouble. And so we were accused. Sometimes wrongfully, other times we were accused because we were guilty. And the fact remain that, especially in the times when we were guilty, you didn't know where to put your head. Because that was the reality. And you wish that somebody did not say what you actually did, that your deed would not be found out. Voila. They tell on you. And as angry as you were, the reality was the shame that came. Because you know that it was true. In this passage of Scripture today, we see three characters, if you want to use the word character. It might not be a very good way of describing, but three different individuals, so to speak. On the one hand, you have Joshua, the high priest. Now bear this in mind, Joshua the high priest. On the other hand, you have Satan, who is called the accuser or the adversary. And then you have the angel of God, the God factor being represented. And the drama starts. So let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that your word says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That your word says that a young man can cleanse his way by giving thought to the word of God. And that you have promised that when we acknowledge our sin, that you will be faithful and you will be just and you will forgive and you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your word says that when we call, you will hear and you will answer. When we turn towards you, you will turn towards us. You will come with healing in your wings. You said that you will come, Father. We humbly ask that you come now by your Spirit. Speak to us. In accents clear and still, above the storms of passion and the murmurs of self-will, oh, speak to reassure us, to chasten or control. Come and speak, O Lord, and make us to listen. For you indeed are the guardian of our souls. And we will give you the glory. We will give you the praise. In the awesome name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all God's people, say amen. In this passage of Scripture, we are reminded of God's amazing call to a people called Israel. And if you have a chance and you look at Exodus 19 and from verse 4 to verse 6. Exodus 19 from verse 4 to verse 6. You will see these words. You have seeing what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. This is God speaking to Moses. Israel was supposed to be a kingdom of priests. In other words, reflecting such character that all the nations will see the difference and be drawn to the God who made them so different. And within this nation, you would see that God made a decisive decision and said to Moses, "Separate unto me your brother Aaron and his sons, that they may be high priests to my people." When you get a chance, go home and read Exodus 28 and 29. Because in it you will see that it was no small thing to be the high priest. God, in making that determination, ordained that the attire of the priest, the high priest, was going to be exquisitely precise and beautiful. It would stand out because it would be reflective of many different facets of his relationship with the people called Israel. I won't go into much more. I leave you with the homework. Read it. But the picture that we have contrasts sharply, because the picture of Aaron dressed in this high priestly garment reflected such purity and such brilliance. But here we have the high priest Joshua in filthy garments. Somehow, at some point, pollution infiltrated the ranks. The filthy garments were almost reflective of what one commentator says, the human excrement. It was a stench. And in this type of setting, the enemy, conscious of what the high priest should really be like, because you have to bear in mind that the high priest could not afford to become defiled. He had to remain clean and pure. And so the enemy of his soul and mine and yours comes before God and begins his work of accusation. Now you have to bear in mind, as I must, that pollution had to come from somewhere. Somewhere in the process of time, the enemy had, how can I put it, encouraged, subtly influenced the children of Israel to become rebellious to the commands of God, and in the process, sin against his royal decrees. And so they lost out on not only the relationship, but the beauty that came with the relationship. And because of this, they were driven from him. And the scripture says to us, that God gave them up. And they were sent into exile. They were supposed to be the head and not the tail. But no, they were being dominated by an alien power. Subservient. People who were supposed to lead. And they lost everything that was distinctly related to their own heritage and legacy that God had given to them. Simply because the enemy subtly influenced them and they fell into the trap. And rebellion brought sin, and sin brought pollution, and pollution brought guilt. Guilt brought stench. Stench brought estrangement. And here it is. After doing his dirty work, he comes before God and accuses Joshua. Isn't it like our lives so very often? We listen to the wrong sources. Then we start to mull over what we have heard. And then we get involved or entrapped in the act. And after we do it, then all the thoughts and the feelings of being unfit, unworthy, good enough, overcome us. And some people go and commit suicide because they see no way out. A couple days ago, I turned to reading a paper, the National News, and in it I saw a face that I know very well. And then I saw the caption suspended. This was a young man who had committed his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he became the pastor of one of the big churches in my homeland. And he was doing so well. Somewhere along the line, he got entrapped. And because of an act that he was not supposed to engage in, which was later found out, he was accused. And after a couple of days, I looked again and I saw his picture and the caption dismissed. He was fired from the job. No longer pastor. This hurts. Because he's not the only one. He's not the only one that the enemy is able to use. To wrench away from us what God has so lovingly provided. This scripture is significant. Because you might not get involved in a sexual act that would cause the stench of pollution or the filth to tarnish your garment. It could be the beginnings of talking about people, holding inappropriate thoughts and actions, carrying out inappropriate actions where people are concerned. You might just simply be an individual who likes to talk too much, but not realizing that you can talk a lot without being devious and destructive. And you might be one of those individuals who say, oh, that's the way I am. But you don't realize that the enemy is using that particular weak part of you, although you don't know that it is weakness, to grab from you what is really your heritage. And because of you're losing out on your, as it were, heritage, you lose your authority to be the instrument through whom God will show his glory. So you become repulsive instead of being a magnet and a light house or signpost to point to Jesus Christ. But this story does not end there. Because if it had ended there, there would be no hope for you and there would be no hope for me. The story says to me and to you that when the accuser came and he accused Joshua, the Lord rebuked him. And the Lord said, is he not a brand plucked from the fire? You have to understand that this fire spells destruction. And this plucking means that someone had to go in there where there was danger and grab this soul that was so precious to the Lord God and bring him out to safety and put him in a place where he could recognize that there was something of worth in him and that there was worth for him to reflect. This scripture is for you. This scripture is for me. Because right here, as the Lord rebukes him, we see the story of God's grace and mercy being unfolded. I better put that differently. The story of God's grace and mercy unfolding. Ephesians says, God is rich in mercy. The psalmist says, he is abundant in steadfast love. God is rich in grace. And so whereas Joshua could have been condemned, and in the process, it represented the fact that because Israel did not live up to the righteous requirement of God, Israel condemned. No, God says otherwise. So God not only dismissed the accuser, but he demonstrated his forgiveness and his love, grace and mercy towards Joshua and by extension to Israel and by extension to you and me. I will come? Yes. I will come. He came to Joshua's rescue. He did not turn his back. He came and he lifted him up. Look at the beauty of this in verse 4. The first thing God says in this situation after rebuking Satan was, take away the filthy garment. Oh, that is powerful. Because God is willing to do a cleansing and purifying work in the life of Joshua. So he is washing Joshua with his word. The removal of the stench of Joshua's garment, God is applying his amazing washing. He says the washing of regeneration. And not only that, it is symbolizing something that is taking place in Joshua. Because as his clothes, his filthy clothes are being removed, he has to be willing to allow God to take them. So he has to surrender and he has to humble himself. So he stands before God, as it were, naked and available. And as I said, by standing before God naked and available, God purifies and God washes. Because he says, I have removed your iniquity or your sin. He didn't only take off his clothes, but he took away his sin. So the enemy had no grounds for accusation anymore. But the story doesn't end there. God says, still in verse 4. Verse 4 is very rich. You have to go back home and read this passage. I will clothe you with rich robes. And in verse 5, you see, he also got the turban for his head. And isn't this symbolic of the fact that now God is equipping and providing? Yes. Because there's a work for him to do and he needs to be equipped for the work. And then God says to him, if you will walk in my way and if you will keep my commands, here we have the call to accountability before God and people. And most of us don't like to be accountable to anybody because we feel that we can do whatever we feel to do at any time that we feel to do it. But here we have God holding Joshua accountable. If you, then he says to him, you shall judge my house and likewise have charge of my courts, and I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. Remember that he is accountable to God before God and before people. And here God says, if you're accountable, I'm going to give you the promise and the security within which you can remain steadfast and firm in your office. This is a passage for us to search our hearts to see if we are really where we're supposed to be. Because whether you like it or not, the enemy will accuse you even in this very place or as soon as you get out of this place. In addition to that, God says something else. He gives what I call an indescribable prophetic provision. He says, I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. That's a little bit further down in the passage. Verse 8, I think it is. And that is reflective of something that actually occurred. The fulfillment of that particular prophetic utterance is found in Jesus Christ on Calvary. In one day, when Jesus, before he breathed his last, he said, Telaktai, which means it is finished. And he breathed his last and he died. And the word of God says to us, and the veil in the temple was rent, using the King James, in two. From top to bottom. And now there is no more separation between us. Jesus Christ the Lord opens up the way to glory when he died and save us from our ruined state. Using some words from one of the songwriters. The victorious work of Jesus Christ, fulfilling what God had said to Joshua on that particular day when all seemed at the beginning hopelessly impossible. For us right now in Millikan Wesleyan Methodist Church, we sit and I stand in full assurance that God is a God of faithfulness to his promise. And what he says, he will do. So he not only came, but he cleansed. And he will continue cleansing. Because those are the words of Jesus. If you will confess your sin as was prayed, he is faithful to forgive your sin, my sin, and cleanse, which the Greek says is a present continuous tense. Continually cleanse us. And using the word of St. Paul, he is able to keep you, guard what you have given to him until the day of Jesus. Yes, you're going to fall. You're going to do stupid things. Yes, you're going to sin. But yes, you don't have to stay there. Like Joshua, who knew that he was under condemnation. He put his hand, he put his life at the mercy of God. He brought himself, he allowed himself to be brought in that place where he says, I am guilty. By his very presence and demeanor, I am guilty. And God says, because you have confessed, I will not only cleanse you, I will heal you. I will deliver you, and then I will recommission you.
happen here. Because we sit and stand in the joyful realization that Jesus has made possible for us what was impossible. That now he says to me and he says to you, I call you to go. And let everyone know that I love them. That my desire is to take each individual, no matter what the situation is, and hold them close to my breast. Let them know that in the midst of their downtroddenness, that I'm the one who can raise them up. That in the midst of their weakness, I am the one who can give them strength. That in the midst of their tears, I am the one who can bring the healing. That in the midst of their frustration and turmoil, I can bring the peace. I am your solid Savior and friend, Jesus. We have to go home. God has brought us here because he has a mission for us this week. And the only way you and I can fulfill our mission is if we have what the songwriter says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing flow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The enemy accused Joshua. And Israel, like Joshua, deserved the wrath of God. But God says, I have redeemed them by the blood of my son Jesus. I have made their garments as white as snow. I have lifted them up from the depths of despair and planted their feet on solid ground. I have made them my servants in whom I will delight in. They're mine. And I send them out as my ambassadors to the world. Will you, having been redeemed, having been forgiven, having been cleansed by the amazing love of God, make yourself available one more time to be used so that somewhere but say, yes, Lord, I will serve you the rest of my days. Let us pray. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, you who called your servant Joshua after all seemed lost, and you made him your high priest, your servant to stand before your people once again and declare the matchless word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speak that same word of call to us so that we may live and not die, so that we may run and not be weary, so that people may see the light of Jesus shining in us and glorify you, who worthy to be praised, honored and served, in Jesus' name.